This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. We talk about all kinds of things in the daily conversations. But, of course, right now we're getting close to the general election. We've got more campaign interviews. And, in fact, that's what we've got every day this week for different races, both around the area and today, a statewide race. Democratic candidate for Attorney General Dan Rayfield with us, former Oregon House Speaker, a Corvallis area state representative. Dan, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Sounds like you've got a busy week.
We do. So I'm curious for you, talk about your background, some of the things you've done over the course of both your career as an attorney and also your service in the legislature.
Yeah, when I talk to people about, you know, what makes me qualified for the role, you know, 18 years in private practice representing individuals against corporations, insurance companies, in claims, you know, very large claims like foodborne illness claims against companies like ConAgra to civil rights cases and actually managing a law practice. So I'm kind of in the private space. For the last 10 years, I've served in the Oregon legislature. 4 years, I served as the budget co-chair, writing the budgets for the state of Oregon and all its 80 agencies. And then the last 2 years, I served as Speaker of the Oregon House, where really built a reputation on how do you bring Democrats and Republicans together to solve some of our greatest challenges. And I think probably the biggest accomplishment that we did recently, something a lot of people didn't think we could do, was bringing Democrats and Republicans together to actually tighten up our drug enforcement laws. So we worked with law enforcement, tighten the laws so that they could actually go after drug delivery in the communities, but also gave law enforcement the tools to confiscate hard drugs and expand treatment in that space and kind of recriminalize low amounts of hard drugs, because that was something, I mean, to be honest with you, whether it's Roseburg, Corvallis, or Portland, it's something that's impacting all of us.
So, because I've always been interested in the legal system, I'm curious when you knew you wanted to be an attorney.
Oh, goodness. This is a wonky thing. I was going through, and I didn't take a straight, narrow path in life, and I was trying to figure out, you know, what got me excited, and this is going to be the boring one, was an urban planner. I love planning. And then the other side was being a lawyer, and I was choosing between going to get a master's degree in urban planning or going to law school, and then I kind of looked at the things where I thought personally would give me the most fulfillment in life. And so that was roughly around 22 to 21, 23, somewhere in that range, where I said, you know what, law school is where I think I can make the biggest impact. And I've always wanted to have jobs where you're doing something where it's, you're helping, you know, someone in a one-on-one situation, but it's but there's also a broader societal context where you're finding meaning.
Now, expand a little bit on kind of the area of law that you focus on.
Yeah, so wide ranging. So you and I think I mentioned a little bit. So on one end, you know, you can have claims against larger corporations. So like in foodborne illness cases, you think about corporations that weren't following certain safety protocols, and we see those kind of food recalls that go on, you know, periodically in a given month. And so you would bring claims to help those individuals against those companies who weren't following those safety rules. To on the other end of the spectrum, right? You've done civil rights cases like denial of medical treatment cases where people have been in jails and not being taken care of. And so you really look at the systems within that structure. And then pretty much everything in between, a wide variety of cases really just representing individuals in that space.
Now, have you been on the prosecutorial side at all as well?
Yeah, so when I came out of, or actually while I was in law school, I spent time clerking in the Benton County District Attorney's Office. And so that was actually my first trial experience I had was as a law clerk in the Benton County District Attorney's Office in that space, working in that context.
Now, what led to your getting into the legislature?
So it was one of those the first time that I ever went to the legislature was when I was an attorney working on behalf of some folks where there was an officer that had to resign because he was falsely arresting people. And the way the law was written by legislators, to be honest, was faulty. And so I worked with a Republican legislator, Andy Olson, and I'm a Democrat, and we worked together to pass a law to kind of fix the screw up in the law. And that kind of, got me to see a broader and different world where I can help people as an attorney, but sometimes you need the legislature to help find some solutions. And so that was kind of my first foray into that space. I had a seat that opened up, and there were some fun things that I wanted to do and work on in the legislature. And so I was able to, and that was in 2014 when I was elected.
How did you balance your legal practice with being a lawmaker?
So it's a very interesting thing. So the fortunate part in Oregon is that we are a part-time legislature. So you're not really there full-time. And so I was able to balance my law practice and maintain a full-time law practice while I was in the legislature. And it's one of those goofy things where you're working with clients and you talk to them and you say, listen, I may have to call you after 5, right? Or I may call you on the weekend when you're during the active period of the legislature. But really what you're trying to do is making sure that you're, when you take on clients, you have the ability to be responsive and advocate for them effectively. But then when you're in the legislature, making sure you're doing the exact same thing where you're there to represent a district and be there and be fully committed in that space as well. So very fortunate that we have a part-time legislature, which really allowed me to get the best of both worlds.
Now, talk about being House Speaker. How did you get to that point?
So I had, everybody gets known as something in the legislature, like a policy area often. I got branded very early on as kind of a wonky budget nerd. And I spent 4 years managing Oregon's budget. And to be honest, during that tenure, we've had some of the largest reserves that our state has ever had. And we're really, frankly, as a state, we're probably one of the better states in the nation to weather a significant recession. So I built up this set of experiences. And when the former Speaker of the House stepped down, there was an opportunity to move into that role. And so my wife and I sat down and talked about it and decided, was this something that made sense for us? And it was an incredible opportunity to do some pretty amazing things. So I stepped up to do that. And I don't regret it at all. We passed, a low-income child tax credit, which is something I'm incredibly proud of. I'm incredibly proud of the fact that nobody really thought we could bring people together to, to tighten down our laws to get drugs off our streets, right? And we did that just this last February. So incredibly, fortunate to have been able to serve in that role. And also do it in a way where we change the tone of how politics was in Oregon. And you don't see that. The press doesn't report on that. But we were hand in hand and really took down the political tone in the Oregon legislature to pass some significant bipartisan reforms like housing reform packages. It was hand in hand, Republicans and Democrats. It was the most recently with our legislation to kind of, combat the drug delivery issues and the substance abuse crisis, hand in hand with the public. So pleased and proud to have been a part of that, and which is just kind of a nice next step to run for Attorney General.
Yeah, and talk about that. You could have certainly stayed in your position probably for the foreseeable future. So why tackle the AG office?
So it was this natural nexus, right? So I've been working on these issues in the legislature, a different set of tools in the legislature, right? You're adding funding, you're expanding policy, you're tightening down laws to then transition into the Attorney General's office, an office that I've been working to develop their budget for 4 years, and then to move into that space to now have the tools that we've given them to be able to do some of these meaningful things. So for instance, how do you keep communities safe? Right, working in this space to combat drug delivery, human trafficking, you have this ability to really be at the nexus of local law enforcement to make a meaningful impact in your communities, right? Different set of tools. I really believe the one thing that we don't talk enough about, and it is a more significant part, is how do you be the attorney for all Oregonians? We need someone who's going to look out for seniors, someone that looks out for consumers, someone that looks out for working families. And this is a position, different set of tools to do just that, whether it's like scams that come in and out of our communities, whether it is wage theft, child labor violations, really important stuff at the Attorney General's office. And then, to be honest, there's the wonky things, and I'll never get away from that, which is how do you improve efficiency in government and use our taxpayer dollars more efficiently? It's looking like how we do state procurement. That's looking at how are we managing the current claims, because you are the defense attorney for all the claims against the state as the Attorney General. You are the legal officer for the state. So I think there's a lot of opportunity to pair with my private experience as an attorney, 18 years, and then also in the legislative side.
All right, we're going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we get back with Dan Rayfield, Democratic candidate for Attorney General. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1 tomorrow. Val Hoyle, incumbent in the 4th Congressional District, will be on Inside Douglas County. Dan Rayfield with us, Democratic candidate for Attorney General, former House Speaker. And remind me on the House Speaker transition, did you exit that role? Was that shortly after you announced for the AG position?
Yeah, so I went through the short session in February, got through March, and then a step down following the March short session earlier this year.
So if you're elected Attorney General, what would you say your top priorities are?
So three things. One, keep communities safe, right? And that's going to be tackling drug delivery issues in all four corners of the state. That's working on human trafficking. That's working on internet crimes against children. So when you think about in that broad, unique role that the Attorney General has to keep communities safe. The second one is you need to be the Attorney General for all Oregonians. And I really want to expand the work we currently do to protect seniors, consumers, and working families. That's things like wage theft, misclassification of workers, child labor violations, scams, predatory lending. Those are the suite of things that you can kind of think about in terms of your protecting Oregonians in more of a civil context. And then finally, you do have to protect Oregon's values in these spaces. Now more than ever, there's certain national attacks that will come to, whether it's our election laws or other laws that are being passed. We need someone in there who's matching the values of all Oregonians in that space. So those are kind of quick three things that we'll talk a lot about.
I know the AG's staff is a large group. It's a big budget. How would you describe your leadership style to oversee all this?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very fortunate, in a lot of the set of experiences that I've had. It's a larger budget. You have 1,400 employees. I'm probably one of the few people to run for a position like that has direct experience in this way. Having served as Speaker of the House for 2 years, one of the things you are doing is managing a branch of government with multiple agencies. So in the legislature, we had a budget of more than $400 million and 400 employees. As you're managing that, is experience leading into this role. So it kind of sets you up nicely to walk in. Anybody who tells you that they're fully prepared for anything is probably not being terribly truthful with you. The way that I always think about it, people always say is that, you know, when you have your first kid or your second kid, you always, you know, is there ever a good time to do that? Probably not, but you get through it and you move forward.
As you look at the AG's office and all the influence it has, what about the consideration of at some point making this a nonpartisan position?
Yeah, people will talk about that a lot, from city council to your county commissioner, all the way up to, you know, the president or governor's race. I think we live in a time right now where people are looking for which party anybody is. So you can move something to a nonpartisan status, but people are still going to be signaling what party or affiliation they're a part of in that space. So I don't necessarily think that that's something that is a, you know, it has the same impact that people are truly looking for, right? I think what you want in this space is someone who isn't bound by their party, someone that has independent thinking in that space. And so I think changing the electoral system, there's some other places where I think would have a better impact to get at that outcome than merely, you know, doing window dressing and calling something partisan or nonpartisan.
Talk about legislation you've worked on that relate to some of the things the AG would address.
Yeah, some of the things that, you know, the biggest thing that we did was in this last short session where we brought law enforcement district attorneys to the table along with Republicans. We actually strengthened the laws for law enforcement to be able to go after drug delivery in the communities. The appellate courts had weakened some of our laws, and so we came back in as a legislature and said, no, there's a problem with enforcement in the communities. Let's strengthen those. We also worked on the front end where we went back on what was ballot measure 110, and we recriminalized low amounts of drugs. So that way officers could come in, seize those drugs, but then at the same time, we expanded frontline treatment. So that way we can really focus on the root cause of what we're seeing in our communities, which is substance abuse, right? And give people a path to treatment first. If they don't want to take that, then yes, there's going to be a ratcheting of pressure to try and move people into a, you know, a, whatever their path to recovery is, right? And that looks different for all of us. At the same time, we also increased resources to the Department of Justice for the Attorney General to have more attorneys and more investigators to really go after this broader organized crime side of things where we're seeing drug delivery or drug cartels in our communities. And so we increased resources. And I'm looking forward to get into this office, hiring those positions up, and then being able to partner with our DAs and our law enforcement to go after that activity.
You've already mentioned this to some extent, but talk about the consumer protection aspect of this office.
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think when most people think about the Attorney General's office, they think that you're prosecuting crime and you're doing this. That's actually less than 10% of what the Department of Justice does. In fact, the Criminal Justice Division is only about 4 to 5% of the entire Department of Justice. So a big chunk of what you're doing is what you talked about, consumer protection, where you are this attorney for all Oregonians. And what I really want to do is in other states, there are people, the way they think about the Attorney General is if you get taken advantage of by a lemon car, you get taken advantage of by predatory lending, you think to yourself, the Attorney General is a place that I can go. Right now, we do some of that work. I would like to expand it because we're not known in the same way that some other states are. So we really want to expand the work to take care of, and I think when we think about our most vulnerable folks in our communities, it's seniors, it's children, and it's our working families. And having someone there to really, that will have people's backs, again, whether it's, you know, child labor violations or wage theft.
How would you approach working with other AGs from around the region or even nationally?
So in my time as the Speaker of the House, one of the things that we really worked to do was work across the aisle and work together on commonalities. And this was really born of my parents, where my dad's a Republican and my mother's very progressive. And often they would talk about wanting the same outcome, but they'd go about it in different ways. And so I think there is a really important aspect of respecting each other and working together. And often Democrat and Republican attorneys general can work together on big issues, whether it's taking on Monsanto, where there's forever pesticides in our community, and this is something that did go on, or whether it's the opioid industry, right? I think it lends credibility to the work that attorneys general do when they work together. And that's something that I was successful with in the legislature and something I want to continue to do in this role.
As people have got their ballots and are beginning to make decisions for this race and all the other races that clear up to the presidential race, what would you say if they are still deciding this race, why should they vote for you?
You know, really what I would do is you need someone who has an extensive, solid legal background. And I have that 18 years managing a practice working on behalf of individuals. You need someone that has experience and knows how to run an agency, but has also gotten results in a partisan political environment. There's very few people that can say that. And having been speaker, the proof is in the pudding, as they say, during the last 2 years of being able to work across the aisle and actually make meaningful improvement on the things that it doesn't matter whether in Medford to Portland, right? We've made meaningful improvements over the last couple of years, being able to do that and being able to manage an agency. And then you need someone who's going to stand up for all Oregonians. I've done that in my private life as an attorney. I've done that in the legislature, and I want to do that as attorney general.
What's your website, and how do people get connected for more information about you?
Yeah, the best way to get a hold of us is exactly that, the website, which is, we tried to make it very simple. It's just www.danrayfield.com.
All right, Dan Rayfield, Democratic candidate for Attorney General on Inside Douglas County. Dan, thanks for being on today.
Thanks for having us.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.